I will restore the years that the locust has eaten. I want to gaze into the amazing mystery of that promise.
Welcome to Open the Bible Weekend with Pastor Colin Smith. I'm Steve Hiller. Glad you've joined us. And Colin, many of us might recognize that promise from the book of Joel. I will restore the years that the locust has eaten. Well, Colin, today we begin to look at how God does restore those years.
It's a miracle, isn't it? Because when time is gone, it's gone. And you say, well, now years have passed. I can't live them again. And that's the nature of life. And yet God is saying, I will restore these years. So we're going to look specifically at how God can do that and what that actually means. It's very wonderful. The years that sometimes we think have been lost are years that God can use in ways that are beyond what we would have realized at the time. But this promise is given to certain people, and it's important, you know, just because something's in the Bible does not mean it's my experience.
Sure.
The question is, for whom does God do this? And I want us to see today how we can be the people in whom this promise is wonderfully fulfilled.
All right. Well, with a hook like that, I think we need to get into today's message. If you can, join us in the book of Joel, chapter 2, as we continue making up for lost years. Here's Pastor Colin.
Locust years can be rebellious years. Perhaps you have been like the prodigal son, the prodigal daughter. You grew up with many blessings, but in your heart, you found as you grew, there was an instinct to rebel. You didn't really fully understand this instinct to rebel, but you gave yourself to it. And what you found as you threw yourself in increasingly to a life that was the opposite of what you knew was right, you thought that it would bring you pleasure, but increasingly, as you got further down that road, you found that it was bringing you pain. And now you look back on years that you have spent, and you look back on them with regret, and they are in your mind years that the locust has eaten. For others among us, followed a godly path, but life just hasn't worked out as we hoped. And we regret some of our decisions. They weren't sinful decisions, they were just choices about what to pursue and so forth. And locust years can be simply misdirected years. You know, the path you chose, the career you ended up with after you chose a particular path, perhaps it was in college or whatever. And what you found was that it took you into what increasingly you felt was a dead end. You made a move. You then found yourself in a place where you just didn't fit. And you look at your life and you say, now how did I end up here? And if only I had made a different choice, I could have been on a different path, but I'm too far down the line now, and options seem to be so much less, and you find yourself more and more saying, oh, if only, if only, if only. If only I'd taken that opportunity. If only I'd not made that move, or had made that move. But the moment has passed, it's gone, and you can't go back to it. And you're left with a profound sense of having many locust years. And Christless years are locust years. All Christless years are locust years. This is worth thinking about for anyone who has not yet made a wholehearted commitment to Jesus Christ. If you ask anyone, and I guarantee you this, ask anyone who became a Christian later in life, they will tell you that they wished they had become a Christian sooner. I guarantee it. I have never met a person who wished that they became a Christian later. It just doesn't happen. How much foolishness I would have avoided if I'd come to Christ earlier. How much more good might have been done if that had happened. There are many, many ways in which we come to a place of feeling that years have been lost, that years are passing, that life is moving on, that opportunities have been missed, and we can't get them back. And when you tune yourself into the fact that these things in different ways are the realities of life for different people all across our congregation, you realize how amazing this promise is that God should say, I will restore the years that the locust has eaten. I want to gaze into the amazing mystery of that promise. Now, two questions, very simply. Here's the first. To whom is this promise given? Who's it for? It is given to particular people. Whoever they are, I want to be among them because this is a great promise. And the second question is, how can this promise possibly be fulfilled? Can't have time again. So in what way can God restore years that the locusts have eaten? Now the question, to whom is this promise given, is answered back in verse 19 and before. Notice that verse 19 tells us that the Lord answered, and that everything that follows verse 19, including the great promise that we're looking at, is God's answer. And it's God's answer to particular prayer. And the particular prayer is back in verse 17. So what did these people ask for that gave or led to this marvelous answer? And there are two things that they asked for. Notice first that the promise of restored years is given to people who feel their need for God's mercy. Verse 17, these people who are given this marvelous promise, they've been praying this: spare your people, O Lord, and make not your heritage a reproach. Spare your people, O Lord. Have mercy, pity. Here are these people, and they're aware that they've been placed under the discipline of God, and they felt their need of mercy. Spare your people. Friends, you cannot pray that prayer as a Christian, spare your people, without your mind surely going to Romans chapter 8 and verse 32, where we are told that God did not spare his one and only Son. The mercy of God that came to them and comes to us for this reason. We are spared because Christ was not spared. And here's our confidence in asking for the mercy of God. God promises all this good to those who know and feel their need of his mercy. And here's our confidence coming to him for mercy. He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all. Well, now, how will he not also, along with him, with Christ, give us all things? You come in your need with a sense of your dependence upon God, simply to survive what you're going through, and you can have confidence here. He did not spare his own Son. That's why he will spare you, and you can pray this with confidence. He gave him up for us all. How will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? The promise of restored years is given to people who feel their need of mercy, and it is given to people who want, verse 17, God's name to be honored. Notice what they're praying there. They're bringing a reason to God. They're bringing an argument to God, if you like. They're presenting a case to God. And here's the case. Why should they say among the peoples, where is their God? It's a very powerful way to pray, by the way. The people to whom this promise is given are people who are concerned for God's name. They're concerned for God's honor. They're concerned for God's reputation in the world. And they come and they pray and they say, now God, unbelieving people are watching. And when they see trouble coming to a child of God, they use it to speak against your name. You see the point of this prayer. Lord, your name is at stake here. Your reputation is at stake here. We're asking that you will spare us, that you will look upon us with mercy, and that you will do it for the sake of your name. Wonder how you end your prayers. I use a number of different ways of always referring to Jesus at the end of my prayers. I say, in Jesus' name. When I first prayed as a child, I always used to say, for Jesus' sake, amen. And maybe you end your prayers that way. It's a very good way to end prayers. For Jesus' sake. Now, that's not just a way of closing a prayer. That's actually presenting a case to God, as an attorney might present a case before a judge in a court. Lord, I am asking these things for the sake of your Son. He gave his blood to redeem a people. And I am one of these people. Now hear my prayer, not because of me, but because of him. And so here are these people. In verse 17, they've heard the call to prayer. And they have been on their knees. And they've been coming before the Lord in humility. And they are very aware of their own need of God's mercy. And they're very concerned for the honor of God's name. And verse 19 says, God answered them. And when God answers, he pours out this blessing that culminates in our verse 25. And he says to these people, I will restore the years that the locust has eaten. So I want to be someone then who is always aware of my need for God's mercy and always committed to the honor of God's name. And I want to be someone who is praying into that and praying from that.
You're listening to Open the Bible Weekend with Pastor Colin Smith and a message called Making Up for Lost Years. It's part of our larger series called Restored, all about how God can make up for what we've lost. It's a study of the book of Joel, and if you ever miss a broadcast in the series, come and listen online. Our website is openthebible.org. There you can stream the program or download an MP3 for free. You can also listen if you have the Open the Bible app. You'll find that for free at your app store. That's a great way to stay connected with Pastor Colin's teaching when you're on the go. So again, get the app for free at your app store or listen online at openthebible.org. Back to the message. Here's Pastor Colin.
And then here's the other question. I want just to answer it as simply and as briefly here as I can. How then can God do this? How can God do the thing that is humanly impossible and restore the years that the locust have eaten? Let me suggest this first, that God can restore lost years by deepening your communion with Jesus Christ. Notice verse 27, the people who had known the loss of the locust years, here's the special promise to them, that they're going to experience the presence of the Lord in their midst, in the midst of Israel, you will know that I am the Lord your God. And to these people who have endured so much, this wonderful restorative promise is given that they are going to know a communion with the Lord that they have sought that is greater than anything that they have ever known in their religious lives before. You remember how the Gospels tell us a story about a woman who had lived an especially sinful life, and she came to Jesus and she poured ointment over his feet. Christ had delivered her from some terrible dark powers that had bound her, and now her love for Christ was greater than any other love she had ever known in her life before. And she comes into a home where Jesus is eating with a bunch of career professional people who are doing very well for themselves. And she kneels at the feet of Jesus and she worships. Christ had forgiven the sins of her locust years. And because she knew that Christ had forgiven her much, she loved much. The extraordinary thing is that the folks in the house were embarrassed by the extravagance of her worship and of her devotion. Here's the irony. They were enjoying fellowship with Christ around the meal table. But this woman who is worshiping at his feet enjoys a far deeper communion than any of these Pharisees could have begun to imagine. Christ can restore lost years by deepening your fellowship with him. Why shouldn't you ask him for this? Why not ask him for this? When, for whatever reason, you have a sense of years are passing and opportunity slipping away, I'm not where I thought I would be or where I would have hoped to be in relation to the Lord, why would you not ask him for that? Tell him, Lord, I have spent too many years at a distance from you. Or perhaps you'll say today, Lord, I've spent too many years without you. Now fill my heart with a new love and a new gratitude for Jesus Christ. Let the loss of these years make my love for Jesus Christ greater, stronger, brighter than it ever would have been otherwise. Restore to me the years that the locusts have eaten. And there's another way in which God can restore lost years. He can do it by multiplying your fruitfulness. This is so wonderfully encouraging. Remember the harvest for these people. They've been wiped out for 4 years. All this work, nothing much coming off it. And then when God restores the years that the locusts have eaten for these people, what happens? They have these bumper harvests. I'm meditating on this and I'm thinking, oh, a bumper harvest. That made me think of Jesus' parable of the sower. And you remember that at the end of the parable of the sower, Jesus speaks about a harvest that could be 30, 60, or 100-fold. Now, folks, there's a huge difference between these three. 3 years at 100-fold is as much as 10 years at 30-fold. Restoring the years. Now, why should we not ask him for this? Lord, the locusts have eaten too many years of our lives. You have called us as your disciples to bear fruit that will last. Too many fruitless years have passed. Now, Lord, we ask of you, give to us some years now in which there will be more lasting fruit born than from all our years of small harvest. Why would we not ask that of God? You know, Spurgeon says, God can do more in a year or in a day than all of us together can do in a lifetime. I love that. And encouraging preachers, he says this, one sermon preached in the power of the Holy Ghost will be worth 10,000 preached without him. And then expanding his range, he says this, if you go into your Sunday school class, he's talking to those who are teaching little children, if you go into your Sunday school class with a divine anointing resting on you, there will be more children brought to Christ by a little of your living, loving teaching than would ever have been by whole years of your unspiritual talk. Thus God can, by endowing us with greater power and firing us with fuller zeal, he can restore to us the years that the locust has eaten. That's wonderfully encouraging. Why should these next years not be the most fruitful years of your life and of mine and of ours? Why should we not ask God of that for that? I hope in your heart you are saying right now, that's what I want. And God can bring long-term gain from short-term loss. Peter puts it this way. He says, your faith is going to be tested, but God is going to prove it to be genuine, and that means it's going to rebound to praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. The thing that will most glorify Christ for all eternity in your life will be the power by which he has sustained your faith through the hardest years and experiences of your life. Last thing I simply want to say is this, thinking about the years that the locust has eaten, years that have been taken, my mind went to something that Isaiah said about Jesus. Do you remember that Isaiah says of Christ that he was cut off from the land of the living? Here's Jesus, and he's in the prime of life. 3 years into ministry, 33 years old. You would think that a man launching a new enterprise at the age of 33 has everything in front of him. And Isaiah says, no, watch this. He's cut off. The reason he was cut off was that he came under the judgment of God, not for his own sins, but because he had none, but for the sins of others. For my sins and for yours. Our sins, our griefs, our sorrows were laid on him. Our judgment fell on him. Our locusts swarmed over him on the cross. And God's tender shoot coming out of the ground, is the way Isaiah describes Jesus, was cut off. Cut off. And on the third day, the Son of God rises from the dead in the power of an eternal life. And he offers himself to you, and he says to you today what no one else will ever be able to say to you. I will restore the years that the locust has eaten.
You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith and a message called Making Up for Lost Years. You know, this message is part of a larger series called Restore, How God Can Give You Back What You've Lost. And I love how Pastor Colin was talking about how God can restore those lost years, and he can do so by multiplying fruitfulness. He can do that 30, 60, or 100-fold. So why not pray for that 100? Well, if you miss any message in this series, you can always come and listen online. Our website is openthebible.org, and there you can stream the program or download an MP3 for free. You can also get the entire series on CD. Ask about Restored when you call us at 1-877-673-6365. That's 1-877-OPEN-365. Or come to our website, openthebible.org. Well, Open the Bible is a listener-supported ministry. That's exactly what it sounds like. We depend on your generosity to keep Pastor Colin's teaching available. And if you give a gift of any amount this month, we want to say thank you by sending you a copy of Pastor Colin's book, The 10 Greatest Struggles of Your Life, Finding Freedom in God's Commands. And Colin, for those who read this book, what is something that you hope they'll take away from it?
Well, there are so many people who have only heard a message that is basically do this and don't do that.
Yeah.
And have become tired of it and may even have walked away from it. Folks who are listening to us right now, and that's been your experience. Do this, do this, do this, don't do that, and so forth and so on. And the wonderful thing that's at the very heart of the gospel is that God gives what he commands. So when we look at the Ten Commandments, we're looking at what God actually offers to give to us by the power of his Holy Spirit when we put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's able to give us a new life in which it's possible to pursue purity, in which it's possible to find contentment, in which it's possible for us to make wise and good use of our time. All of these issues are addressed in the Ten Commandments, and therefore they point to a new life that is full of the most wonderful hope. If you've only heard a bunch of do's and don'ts, you haven't yet discovered the good news of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so my hope and prayer for this book is that it will help many people to have their eyes opened to the new life that's possible through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, we'd love to send you a copy of this book, The 10 Greatest Struggles of Your Life, Finding Freedom in God's Commands, as our way of saying thank you for your financial support. You can give online at openthebible.org or when you call 1-877-673-6365. That might be easier to remember as 1-877-OPEN-365, or again, our website is openthebible.org. For Pastor Colin Smith, I'm Steve Hiller. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us next time. Open the Bible Weekend is a listener-supported production of Open the Bible.
At Open the Bible, we're grateful for like-minded organizations committed to sharing the gospel around the world. And to that end, I'd like to commend the work of Global Fingerprints. You know, in the book of James, God calls us to help orphans in their distress. That's a clear command, but it's not always clear how we should obey it. And this is where Global Fingerprints comes in. Through Global Fingerprints, you can sponsor a vulnerable child to help meet their physical needs and ensure they hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want to commend Global Fingerprints to you. They're focused on equipping the local church to care for children, and where there is no church, they help to plant one. If you'd like to help a vulnerable child, you can find more information on Global Fingerprints at our website, openthebible.org/GF. That's openthebible.org/GF.